Today on Real Radio.
And Jesus says, what I'm doing to you now, you don't understand, but you will later. I'm grateful for that, because the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Isn't that great? And so Peter says in verse 8, you shall never, by the way, it's emphatic in the Greek, you shall never, never wash my feet. Can you imagine talking to God like that in human skin?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're looking at the first 17 verses of chapter 13. Now, this is where Jesus is mere hours away from his execution and suddenly does something that seems quite unusual to us, and in fact, in some ways, quite unusual to his disciples. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Lord of the Towel.
He gets up and he starts to gird himself and get a towel and he gets a basin. By the way, symbolically speaking, true to the text, is the scriptures teach us in Old Testament usage that before the priest could enter into the work of the Lord, what did he have to have washed? It was his feet. Jesus takes these elements and he begins to wash their feet. Symbolic? No doubt about it. Listen, was the smell of their feet a problem to Jesus? I don't think so. Could they have had their Passover dinner without having their feet washed? Of course. So what's the message being taught? It has everything to do with fellowship with God. We'll see this in a moment. Fellowship with God. So Jesus gets up. Can you imagine for a moment? He comes to Andrew's feet. Apparently, the room is somewhat quiet because we only hear Peter pipe up later. So Jesus comes to, say, Andrew's feet. And I wonder what was in Jesus' mind. So, well, you know, who cares, whatever. Okay, well, time out. Why don't we all just take off our shoes right now and get out some buckets of water and start washing one another's feet? What would be in your mind? Boy, these are some feet here. Or these are nice feet. These are stinky feet. These are big feet. Doesn't this guy ever clip his toenails? Look at all the lint between this guy's toes. What did he just step in? What would you be thinking? Jesus picks up perhaps Andrew's foot and begins to maybe think, Andrew, as he's washing these feet, they're always so encouraging. These feet always take this young man to the ears that need encouragement. And he goes over, after having dried Andrew's feet, he goes over maybe to Thomas's feet. Oh, Thomas, if you only realized where these feet were going to take you. Thomas, these feet are going to take you down into North Africa and you'll preach the gospel among the beautiful black people of that country. Thomas, if you only knew where these feet were going. What was in Jesus' mind? It was such an unusual moment that it held them almost spellbound. Why would Jesus, a Jew, not only that, the master of the gang, the one who has presented himself as Lord God on earth, do such a thing? And what about Judas's feet? What was he thinking when he washed Judas's feet? Was he washing Judas's feet and saying, Judas, I had so much planned for you. I had so much that I wanted to have laid out before you, but you were not willing. And I know what's in your heart, and I know where these feet are going any moment. He says nothing. And Jesus ministers. His example to us is ministry. He's got a heart to serve. Listen, You guys, Jesus did this. And we need to do this. You say, well, Jack, I don't know if I can wash somebody's feet. I'm not asking you to wash anybody's feet. But you know what? We are all called upon to do something. See, our culture, it's not feet. In our culture, it's maybe, can you change the oil in that lady's car? Can you rotate the tires on that mother who's raising those kids and doesn't have the money to go to Pep Boys or whatever? The guy that broke his arm, can you mow his lawn? That's washing feet today. That's ministering. Why? Listen. Why? It's not so much the act that you're doing. Is it beneficial? Yes, it's wonderful. Does it mean something to the person who's receiving the act? Yes. But it speaks of something deeper. If you come and wash, you know, my car because my arms are broken, what are you communicating to me? That you're a car freak? No. That you like to get your hands wet? No. It means that our relationship between one another is okay. Did you know that? It means that it's fine with us. You see, we don't often serve one another because, first of all, we don't know each other. And that's not the will of God. We need to get intermingled with one another. Then once we find out about each other, we find out about one another's needs. And listen, there are people here who live by this church. They're widows or they're old or whatever, and this church keeps them alive. You do. Then there are people who are millionaires in this church, and they're in need. They're in need of love. They're in need of encouragement. They're in need of prayer and guidance. And you think, well, I'd rather be a rich man in prayer, in need of prayer and guidance than somebody. Hey, don't you think like that. It's amazing how God has called us to minister to each other. Why? In so doing, we communicate a message. It's fine between you and I. Look what is said here. Verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded about him. And so he's ministering to them, teaching them. They had to be blown away, completely shocked. But verse 6, listen. Verse 6 says, when he came to Simon Peter, and here we go. Some people have rightly written in their commentaries, the only time Peter opens his mouth is to change feet. That's fun. But I like him. And Peter always says what I'm wondering about. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Now, that looks kind of gentle, huh? It looks like he's asking a sincere question. It's almost like Jesus interrupts him, like somebody grabs Peter's foot. Whoa, oh, Lord, are you washing my feet? Oh, that's not what he's saying. It's very, very strong in the Greek language. Lord, are you washing my feet? Strong words. Peter's such an amazing guy. And look what Jesus says to him. Verse 7. What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. What could that mean? Think. I think you know the answer. What could that mean? You washing my feet? I don't appreciate this. Look, those other guys may need their feet washed, but I don't need my feet washed. I'm okay. Jesus says, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing. You will later. Could this, in the context, as we conclude this study, when we come to the end, it's all about relationship and forgiveness. Could it be, Peter, you will be glad not many hours from now that I have washed your feet with what I'm about to say? You see, we always want to be ahead of God. We always want to figure him out. I think I know what the Lord's going to do on this, so I'm going to go do that. Oh, I can see God on this one. I'll take care of it. You know what? The older I get, the less I know. I mean it. Don't tell my kids that, but it's true. Because you know what? At the last moment, at the 11th hour, God pulls angels out of a hat. He's amazing. Just when it comes down to, what are we going to do? God does it. I'm learning to give up. When I'm praying and praying and, oh, Lord, please, God, touch, God, open, God, do something, God, and I don't see him do it, then I say, oh, brother, it's not going to work, God. I don't know what you've got planned. He does something that was better than my prayer request. That happened to me this week. I was praying for one thing. Oh, God, please, you've got to. God, and what I was saying is, you got to see it my way. Lord, what do I have to do to get you to join up on my club here? And then what he did was he threw a curveball and did it better than I could ever have done it. I get nervous when somebody says, well, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. And, you know, I heard from God and he said this. And, you know, you talk to them, they said like five times in a sentence. The Lord this, the Lord that, and Lord that. You know, I don't know anyone who hears from God like that all the time. Most of the time it's by faith. I think God said. And so you begin to act. It has to be that way. Now, there are times when God says, Jack, do this. And I had a wonderful time in Austria this week where God said that exact same thing. That's why I'm bringing it up in the message. It fits. It's kind of cool. I'm sitting there. It was an afterglow. After the teaching, the worship was playing. The college kids were all there. The lights were down dim. I'm praising the Lord. Just have my hands up. And honestly, frankly, I was probably thinking about food or something. I don't remember. It was shocking me, though. I was just like, oh, man, this is a great service, but I'm getting tired. And I didn't hear God's voice, but I felt him so strongly say something to me. It was so cool. And I knew right then and there, I have to do this. I have to do this thing. Well, Jesus says, what I'm doing, Peter, you don't understand, but you will later. I think personally, Jesus is alluding to what's coming up for Peter. Peter's going to deny Jesus three times. He is probably going to think after the denial that he's not even a believer at all. Can you imagine? The Bible says that Peter, after he denied Christ, went out and wept bitterly. He probably thought that he didn't even belong to the family of God anymore. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever sinned to that point? To where you've gone so far, you think, I don't even think I belong to the family anymore. How can I be a Christian after all I've done? And Jesus says, what I'm doing to you now, you don't understand, but you will later. I'm grateful for that because the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Isn't that great? And so Peter says in verse 8, you shall never, by the way, it's emphatic in the Greek, you shall never, never wash my feet. Can you imagine talking to God like that in human skin? Can you imagine? You will never wash my feet. And if you know any Jewish people, they don't say things subtly. They don't go, you will never, never wash my feet. Everything's flying when they say it. You will never, never, no, never wash my feet. But Jesus answered and said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And that right there, you should put parentheses or underline that in your Bible. That is the announcement. This is what it is, or Jesus is announcing, Peter, the things that I'm doing here right now, okay, buddy, wake up. Hey, listen, pal, listen, this is spiritual stuff. Okay, I'm just not going around this room to clean feet because I don't like the smell of this room. This is a spiritual issue. This is very, very important. If you don't have me wash your feet, then I can have no part of you. It's that important. You see, all of a sudden now it's not feet. It's not what somebody stepped in. It's the meaning behind it. What is going on? Then here's Peter. Pendulum, one side, go over to the other. Simon Peter then says to Jesus, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Can you imagine? It's only that little basin. Can you imagine? Peter got his feet in it. He got his head in it. Rolling around in it. Everything, wash me, wash me. He goes from one pendulum side to the other. You won't wash me. Drown me. So funny. He's just like us. And Jesus said to him, Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Of course, he's referring to him who would betray him. That's why he said, "You are not all clean." And this is a great truth, you guys. Listen up. Being a Christian definitely means you are not perfect. Being a Christian means you sin. Being a Christian means you fail. Being a Christian means it's tough. Being a Christian is a difficult life to live swimming against the tide of evil. Will we be perfect in this world? No. Do we want to be? Yes, that's the hallmark of the Christian. We want to be, but we fail at it. But we get up and go again the next day. We constantly pursue him because his love constrains us. His love pulls us on. We're not perfect. But we would love to be perfect practically in this world living now. Positionally in Christ, we are perfect. God sees us perfect. That's why Jesus says, "You're already clean. You just need your feet washed." What does that imply? Well, Peter, you guys, living in this world, you're going to get some sin on your feet from time to time. And you need to make sure that I wash your feet. Now, do you see this? Remember the word rose from the table to wash? Why it's in the continuous? I always rise up and wash feet. It's what I do. I'm God. I forgive sinners. I always get up from the table and wash feet. And I'm always going to be doing that because it has nothing to do with, listen, salvation every moment of the day. It's already done at the cross, salvation. The washing of the feet implies constant fellowship. You sin today? Did you sin? You know, Jesus would say, and I don't, listen, I had someone tell me this week, "I've never asked myself this question about, have I sinned this week? Or have I sinned today?" We need to start asking ourselves this question, when did I not sin today? I didn't do anything. I blindfolded my eyes. I plugged my ears. I just stood there. Well, you're still sinning, just breathing, because you were supposed to go out and feed the homeless and you didn't do it. I mean, we are walking sin machines. Think about it. But because we're Christians, we're forgiven because we confess that sin to him. "Lord, forgive me of those sins today that I committed. I was angry at that guy and that I was, you know, today my husband or my wife, the dog, and I lost my temper. Lord, please forgive me." You know how long that takes? It takes moments. And you know what? If you really believe the word of God, in just that moment, freedom and release comes to your soul. And you're set free. And it's great because then you can go to your kids or to your dog and say, "I'm so sorry. I was a real ding-dong today and I shouldn't have been like that. I upset you. It was wrong of me." It's great. It's liberating. So what Jesus is saying is, if you believe in me, you're already clean. But I need to wash your feet because in this world you get dirty. We're not all perfect, but he who is keeps us clean. And you say, "Well, what's the proof text of such an argument?" 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 was written to one exclusive group of people only. Only one. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what?" Yeah, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that neat? That's only written to believers, by the way, not non-believers. 1 John is written to believers. If you're not a believer in Christ this morning, you need to come to him and have your whole sin issue dealt with so you can enter into the family so that Jesus, from here on out, just washes your feet. Isn't that fun to know? I don't know about you. This really turns me on. Because I see my security in Christ. I see how he's going to be faithful to take care of me. And of course, he makes the statement about Judas, and we need not spend time on him. Let's continue on. And so the scriptures in verse, pick it up in 11. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he says, you are not all clean. So, verse 12, when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher, rabbi, and Lord. And so you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and he did that, didn't he? You also ought to wash one another's feet. For if I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than him who sent him. He who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You ought to mark the 17th verse of John 13. John 13, 17. Who in this room doesn't want to be happy? We all want to be happy. How do you experience happiness? Now, make no mistake about it. The Bible talks about joy, and the Bible talks about happiness. Joy is a constant. It never changes. By the way, the Bible says the world doesn't have joy. They don't have it. It's a God-given thing. The world doesn't have joy. Christians have joy. Joy grants you the ability to see things that aren't normally visible. Joy is when you've just buried your loved one and there's tears flowing down your cheek and you have deep joy in your heart because you know you'll see them again in the future. Joy is like a deep, still river. Happiness is something that is erratic. It's spasmatic. To be happy is connected to happenstance. If you feel good and everything's going your way, you're happy. If you don't feel good and things are not going your way, you're not happy. Jesus says, well, I'll tell you what. Want to be happy? This is the key to happiness. Follow my example. I just wonder if what we're talking about made it past this pulpit. Because I'm going to say this. Jesus challenges us here. And he says, you want to be happy? Wash the feet of someone. Find out what they need. They may only need you to ask them out to lunch. They may even pay for lunch. That's not what they wanted. They don't want the money. They want a conversation.
Yeah, as the song goes, here is our God, the Servant King. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Lord of the Towel, looking at the first 17 verses of John chapter 13, which serve as a reminder to all of us believers that among all we are called to do, we are also called to serve. Now, we invite you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio if you'd like to hear this study once again in its entirety. And probably the best place to start is by visiting us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And in fact, while you're there, you can not only hear past broadcasts, but you can look into being a subscriber to our podcasts at absolutely no charge. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Also, a reminder that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.